take your Bible for just a few moments, and I want us to turn to Psalm 150. Psalm 150, and to just take a few moments here to give us a thought here about praise to the Lord and His goodness to us before we bring our the Lord's Day here, at least in God's house, to an end. So Psalm 150, and I want us to look at the psalm in its entirety. Don't get scared about that now. It's only six verses. But Psalm 150, and this is what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about a life that is characterized by praise. A life that is characterized by praise, or maybe we could word it this way, the praised, characterized life. What would it be like to have a life that is characterized by praise? I want us to look at Psalm 150, and let's take time to read through that psalm, and you'll notice some things that I'm going to say after I read through the psalm. That's why I wanted to take the time to read it first. But it says this, it says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." At our winter retreat that we would typically have here for our young people in the month of January, it's kind of been a tradition for a long time here, that winter retreat that we'll have with our young people. One of the things that has been something that's just standard, we just have it every year, on Sunday afternoon, we always have a praise service. And I love having a moment where we can spend about 20, 25, 30 minutes. It's no longer than that, but we're just singing some hymns just like we did tonight, and then also spending some time just praising the Lord. And a lot of it's just kind of reading some scripture, just like what we read tonight in Psalm 150. And Psalm 150 is a great psalm of praise. And as you come to the end of the psalms, of course, Psalm 150 is the last psalm in the book of psalms, but when you come to the end of the book of Psalms, God does... He doesn't want us to miss out on the importance of praise. As a matter of fact, He emphasizes it so much that in each of the last five psalms, so that would be from Psalm 146 all the way to Psalm 150, at the beginning and ending of each psalm, the phrase, "Praise ye the Lord," is mentioned. So Psalm 146, the very beginning and the very end. Psalm 147, the same thing. Psalm 148, 149, and then 150, the psalm that we just read. So praise really is the theme of all of the Psalms. When you go throughout the Psalms, you see such a great theme of praise. And praise has already dominated the book of Psalms way before we get to Psalm 150. It's already dominated the book because we said that was the theme of the book. And so it's already dominated the book. But as the end of the book of Psalm approaches, there's one final, what we could say maybe a grand finale of praise to the Lord here. From Psalm 146 all the way through Psalm 150. Again, the book is, that's the theme of the book. It's already been dominated all throughout the book. But we get to Psalm 146 through Psalm 150, and it's a grand finale of praise to the Lord. Just like we spent a lot of time praising the Lord tonight already, didn't we? Just in our hymns and then also our testimonies that we have given. But it's a great grand finale of praise. And Psalm 150, we might refer to that as the climax of the climax. I mean, this is the climax already in Psalm 146 through 150, but now Psalm 150 gets us to the climax of the climax. We're encouraged in these six verses 13 different times to praise the Lord. Just six verses, but yet 13 different times we are encouraged in some way to praise the Lord. So what do we understand when we read through Psalm 150? That God's people should be caught up with praising Him. It ought to be a regular part of our life as Christians. And so I'll ask you that question as we head into the thoughts of this chapter here, this psalm, Psalm 150. Does praising God characterize your life? Does praising God characterize your life? Is it a part of your regular, everyday, day-to-day life? Remember the title of the message, "The Praise Characterized Life." Is praise, or does praising God characterize your life? We'll be a praised-focused Christian if we're focused on God. Just like this morning when we preached that message about considering Christ, when we consider Him, it helps us to see Him in His creation, as we talked about this morning, and the fact that He cares for us, and the fact that was crucified, He died for us, and He's coming again. When we concentrate on Christ and we consider Him, it certainly leads to the happy life, doesn't it? In the same way we would say about praising, we're going to be a praised-focused Christian as we are focusing on the Lord, as we are considering Him. So a couple of things I want us to see in this psalm, and we'll try not to be long here this evening, but number one, I want us to see the where of praise. Where are we to praise the Lord? The where of praise. Look at what verse number one says. It says, "Praise ye the Lord," and it actually breaks it down into two different categories or two different places that we would say we would praise the Lord. Notice it says, number one, praise God in His sanctuary. The word sanctuary there has the idea or refers to the place of worship on earth. We would say that that's where we're at tonight, aren't we? We're in the sanctuary, the place in which we would worship the Lord on earth, the place in which we would say God's people gather for the purpose of worshiping the Lord. So the praise of God really ought to be the main business as we gather together as a church family. As a matter of fact, we would say that, wouldn't we? Every single part of our service is for the purpose of praising the Lord, bringing honor and glory to Him. Whatever takes place in the service, we want it to be for the purpose of worshiping Him, for the purpose of bringing honor and glory to the Lord. And so we corporately, together, offer Him praise. Tonight, this was a joy, wasn't it? To be able to corporately offer the Lord praise, to be able to give Him the praise of our lips as we've given testimony tonight of His blessings and what we're thankful for in our lives. And then as we sang His praises as well, we did that corporately. Now, let us not be so hasty to move past here to not think that we cannot do that individually as well now. We can certainly have on a daily basis individual times in which we bring praise and honor and glory to the Lord individually and on a daily basis as well. But the Bible's talking about in the sanctuary, though, in the place where God's people would gather to worship Him. But then it goes on. So where are we to worship the Lord? Where are we to praise the Lord? It says, praise God in His sanctuary, but then also praise Him in the firmament of His power. The word firmament there refers to heaven. Now, obviously, when we think about heaven, that's a great picture of God's power, isn't it? Those who are, by the way, we could start with just how God created it, but then how that God has given eternal life, those who are going to dwell there, who have trusted Christ as their Savior. Angels who are there already worshiping and giving praise and honor to the Lord. Those who have already left this life as Christians and are already there in the presence of God. And then one day we're going to get to be there, aren't we? We're going to get together around God and His throne there in heaven. And so what is this a call for? Well, this is a call in verse number one for the heavenly host to praise God. So the answer as far as the where of praising God would be everywhere. We're to praise God everywhere. Praise Him on the earth and praise Him in heaven. Here's what God is trying to encourage us here in this psalm, Psalm 150 in verse number 1, that all that dwell on the earth are to unite with those who are in heaven in praise to the Lord. So every one of us that are here on earth, we unite with those who are in heaven and joining with one another in praise to the Lord. So number one, the where of our praise. Where are we to praise the Lord? Everywhere. But let's move on quickly now to be timely. Verse number two, the why of praise. So the where of our praise, where are we to praise Him? Everywhere. But the why of our praise. Why are we to praise God? Well, the simple answer is this, because of what He's done for us. And because of who He is. So because of what He's done and because of who He is, and by the way, we have that exact statement in verse number two, don't we? Notice what it says in Psalm 150 in verse number 2. It says, praise Him for His mighty acts. So every act of God, we would offer God praise for. So what He's done, that's His mighty acts, all that God has done. But go on, it says, praise Him according to His excellent greatness. His greatness is who He is. So we praise God for what he's done, that's his mighty acts, and who he is, that's his excellent greatness. So we would say this, we're praising God for his acts, or what he's done, his deeds, but we're also praising God for his attributes, the attributes of God as well. So let's start with the first one. Notice this again, praise him for his mighty acts. We're praising God for his mighty deeds. Why are we to praise God for his mighty deeds, for all that he has done for us? And you know, we would not even have to go outside of the book of Psalm to be able to realize all the mighty deeds and the acts of God. We would not even have to go past the book of Psalm. Let's prove it just by taking a few of the Psalms. We won't even take time to turn there. But if you would take time to turn to Psalm 22, you would see that we can be thankful because God sent the Messiah to die for our sins. If you would turn to Psalm 23, the very familiar psalm, we talk about it as the Psalm 23, the very familiar one, we can praise God that he has provided for our every need because he is our shepherd. Because he's provided all of our needs, he's our faithful shepherd, isn't he? If you would turn to Psalm 32, we won't take time again to do it, but now if you were to turn to Psalm 32, you would know that Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 are connected, aren't they? They are the two psalms in which David confesses his sin that he has committed with Bathsheba. So what would we say that is true about the mighty deeds of God in Psalm 32? That he offers forgiveness of sin, doesn't he? Forgiveness of sin, which God gives and offers to the repentant sinner. David offering that prayer of confession to God in Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 as well. And God forgives sin when a repentant sinner comes to him. That's a mighty deed of our God, isn't it? And then we could go to Psalm 57 and we would say that we see that the fact that our God is sufficient in times of trial. Have you ever gone through a trial? We all have. We ever gone through a valley? We all have. We talked about it this morning, didn't we? We consider Christ the one who is helping us through the valleys that we go through. And in Psalm 57, you would see that great truth about the mighty deeds of our God. He is sufficient in times of trial. How about Psalm 119? Psalm 119 is a long one. I believe it has, off the top of my head, I believe 176 verses. Every single verse deals with the Scripture, doesn't it? Deals with the Bible in some way. Psalm 119 is a powerful psalm because it talks to us about the deeds of our Savior because he's graciously given us his word, hasn't he? And he's graciously given us his word to guide us each step of the way. One of the things that we all express tonight is that we are thankful for our salvation. I heard that over and over and over again. And our salvation came because God's provided us a book that we've read, hasn't he? And we've been able to find out how this salvation can be granted to us by grace through faith, so full and so free. Aren't you thankful for his word? Aren't you thankful that he has given us so graciously his word to guide us? But then we could go to Psalm 139. For some, that might be a very familiar psalm, and we would be able to thank God that he formed us in our mother's womb. Before we even knew, before our parents even knew what we were going to look like, God was already forming us, wasn't he? And that's why we believe that life is so sacred and life is so important, because God formed us in his womb and he ordained all the days of our life. Before we even took our first breath outside of the womb, God formed us in our womb and he ordained all the days of our life. So think on the mighty deeds of God. Think how he deals with us. How he has chosen us, the Bible says, before the foundation of the world. That he sought for us when we were dead in our trespasses and our sins. How the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, he saved us unto a living or a lively hope, the Bible says. We can be thankful that he graciously and he patiently has led us every step of the way to where we are today, and we have great confidence that he's going to lead us in the future as well, don't we? We serve a God who has performed mighty deeds, but we want to look back at the verse because not only do we say the why of our praise is because of his mighty deeds, but also because of his excellent greatness. We want to praise God because of his attributes, because of who he is. The Bible says again, Psalm 150 in verse number 2, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Now would you take time, and this will be the only scriptures I ask you to look up here tonight as we draw this to a close here. But would you look in the New Testament at a couple verses that help us to understand the attributes and the excellent greatness of our God? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, And let's look to verse number 17. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17. And let's notice the attribute of our God, or His excellent greatness, or who He is. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 17 says this: "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God," and then notice what it says next, "be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Think of His attributes there. He's eternal. He's immortal. He's invincible. He's the only wise God, and He deserves our praise, doesn't He? Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Just a couple chapters over, down to verse number 16. It says, "Who only hath immortality?" Well, who's it talking about? Notice verse 15, which in his times He shall show, "who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords." That's who it's describing, back to verse 16, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom," notice, "be honor and power everlasting. Amen." Would you look at one more verse, Revelation chapter number 4. Look down at the very last verse in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11. It says this: "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." God is a God. Why do I praise Him? Because of His mighty deeds, but because of His excellent greatness. He is a God who has many great attributes, and we're able to praise Him for that. As a matter of fact, Julia picked that song tonight. What a mighty God we serve! Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. Why? Because He's worthy of all that, isn't He? So the where of our praise, that's everywhere. The why of our praise. Well, why do we praise Him? Because of His mighty deeds and His excellent greatness, of what He's done and who He is. But then thirdly, the how of praise. How are we to praise Him? Notice the instruments that are mentioned here. Now, we got some good pianists. And boy, they were doing a great job this evening. Look at the host of instruments that's found here that we can worship and praise the Lord with. Notice verse 3. "Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals." How are we to praise God? With everything we've got. With all that we have, with all of our energy and all of our being, all of our heart and all our mind and our soul, let's learn to praise the Lord. Notice the different groups of instruments there. You've got the stringed instruments and the wind instruments and the percussion instruments that are mentioned there. What an opportunity we have to praise and worship our Lord. And can I say this about the how of praising our Lord? Let's express it with joy. Hey, when we're praising the Lord, let's express it with joy. Let's reflect outwardly something that has happened already inwardly. We're reflecting outwardly praise to the Lord because of what Jesus has already done for us inwardly. Can I say this? Don't ever get to the place where you blame your lack of joy on your personality. Some of you say, "Well, I'm just not that kind of a person." We all have things that get us excited. Let's just let it be that we get excited over the things of the Lord. So don't blame it on saying, "Well, my personality isn't one like that." You might not be able to see me expressing joy because, again, we all have things that we get excited over. Let it be that we get excited over the things of the Lord, things that are of eternal value. And so the how of praise, let's make sure we give everything we have to the praise of the Lord. And we're able to do that as we worship the Lord, aren't we? And then the last one tonight is this, the who of praise. We're to offer praise everywhere because of God's mighty deeds and His attributes, His excellent greatness. And we offer it. How do we offer that to the Lord? With all of our might and all of our strength, with expressing great joy as we do that. But who is to offer praise? Well, it simplifies it pretty easy for us here in verse 6. I love how simple this is. "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." So who is to praise the Lord? Everything that breathes. Everything that breathes is supposed to praise the Lord. So the qualification is this: if you have breath, If you have breath, that's the qualification. If you have breath, praise the Lord. But here's something we want to make sure that we understand about this thought that's given to us tonight, all throughout Psalm 150. Just like we said this morning, how that word consider is a command that God gives to us, praising the Lord is a command as well, isn't it? So we would say this about our praise to the Lord. Praise is a matter, really, of obedience to God, isn't it? If I want to do what God has commanded me to do, and I want to obey Him, then I'm going to offer Him praise. So that means that my praise then would not be based upon my feelings or even my circumstances. Again, to say, well, that's just not my personality. I'm just not feeling that way right now, or I've got circumstances I'm going through. It's not based on my feelings. It's not based on my circumstances, because things around us can be out of order sometimes. But that doesn't mean, as Christians, we stop praising the Lord. It's not an option. It's a responsibility, isn't it? And it's a responsibility that the Lord has given to us. But as we close, let me give you a couple thoughts here in closing. We talked about the where of our praise everywhere. And why? Because of God's great deeds and His excellent greatness, His attributes. And then we talked about the how of praise with all of our might and all of our strength. And then the who of praise. Everyone's supposed to praise the Lord. Everyone that has breath. But the psalmist didn't deal with the what of praise. The psalmist didn't deal with the what of praise. But isn't it comforting to know that other scripture passages do let us know that praise, what our praise is, and that it is really a result of our focus on the Lord? Those of you that raised your hand tonight and offered a praise to the Lord, you're focusing on the things that He has done for you. Your mind is on Him. You're focusing on the fact that we've got a church family here, and we've got salvation, and we've got His Word, and so many blessings. Many of you said praise and thanks to the Lord for your families that you have. And again, many of you mentioned your church family, your salvation, certainly. All that God has done for us. Why are we offering that praise to Him? Because our focus is on Him. And although we might not see in Psalm 150, verse 1 through 6, we may not see the what of praise, we know that the what of praise really is stemming from, other passages of Scripture tell us, because we've put our focus on Him. And so our praise can be expressed in many different ways, can it? As a matter of fact, here in church, we can express our praise in many different ways to the Lord, through our singing, through our praying, our time of prayer, our giving of thanks. We call that sometimes, we'll call it a testimony time, or a time when we could share blessings from the Lord. That's a way for us to praise the Lord. Serving the Lord is a way for us to praise Him. All He's done for us, Lord, it's only right that I do something for You. I want to offer my praise and my worship to You by giving my best in serving You. And then when we preach and we teach God's Word, that's a way for us to worship and praise the Lord. We're doing that tonight, aren't we? And then our giving, we're able to worship the Lord and praise Him through our giving. And then I've said this many a time, through our invitation time as well. When a service time comes to an end, when you're responding based upon the way God has spoken to your heart, that brings praise to the Lord, doesn't it? Our stubbornness to say no to Him is contrary to that. But when we respond and we allow God to speak to us with a tender heart, and then we respond based on how He has spoken to us, we're offering praise to the Lord, aren't we? So it can take place, we already said this earlier, but it can take place individually. But aren't you thankful it can take place corporately as well? Opportunities we have praise services like this and just offer praise to the Lord. Can I say this in closing? Praising the Lord is His will, isn't it? It's what He wants. It's the will of God. It is God's will that we offer Him praise. So let's look at it that way. He doesn't just command it, but we would say hand in hand with that, it's His will for our lives. It's what He desires for us to do. So it should happen at all times, shouldn't it? Not just in the good times of life, not just in, as we talked about this morning, not just in the prosperities of life, but sometimes in the adversities of life as well. To say, God, You're good, and You're good all the time. There's not a time when You are not. And so let's just learn to praise the Lord. The where of praising the Lord, and the why, and the how, and the who, but then also at the end there, the what of praising the Lord. Let's make sure we're busy as God's people praising Him. Why don't we bow our heads and close our eyes, and maybe tonight we won't even have Miss Dawn come to the piano this evening, but maybe they're just in the quietness of the room. Maybe God has spoken to your heart in some way.